This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Third hour, what's happening? Tiki and Tierney company on this good-looking Wednesday around the country. World Series underway. Back to it tonight. And we're coming here from our Rocket Mortgage studio. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket Can. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. And, of course, Tiki Barber, Brandon Tierney. Twitter, Tiki and Tierney. And let's check the direction of our poll question, shall we, Mr. Barber? We're going to get back to the World Series here. But let's just check how we opened the show. And that was about the absolute mess, the stench that is already emanating from Dallas. I mean, they're not in a good spot. So, following scathing off the record comments directed at the coaching staff, do you believe Mike McCarthy will be one and done in Big D? The three options: yes, time's ticking; no, he will stabilize; not yet sure. I haven't clicked it, and I have to get a sense of the numbers. I'm going to click no, he's going to stabilize. I don't know if I really believe that, but I clicked it. 51% of you say yes, time's ticking, meaning year one, one and done. Wow. 32.5% say no, he will stabilize. 17-ish%, not yet sure, still determining. So go drop a vote in on our Twitter account, at Tiki and Tierney. And, you know, basically what I said was, you're talking about the trifecta: injuries, deficiencies, and a lack of respect.
Yeah.
Trifecta is nice at the track. Trifecta that in that regard is not good for a head coach. So we'll see what happens with the Cowboys. But that McCarthy, we say this because he responded to the claims that basically he doesn't know what he's doing, nor does his staff. That's quotes, not attributed to me, but attributed to anonymous players. So the Dallas situation obviously is something we're going to have to watch, which we will. All right. You know, with all these, you know, launch angles and exit velo and the propensity for basically every team and every player at every position to, if they get their pitch, to take you deep in a big way. I don't mean 370. You know, I mean like 430. We long ago fell in love with power. By the way, TV just jumped in. So welcome. Hopefully you guys enjoy the UEFA Champions action. Good to have you in. The thing about power is that power is not always there. We know that. There's been a long list of prodigious mashers, and I always mention two of them. One is Bonds, one is A-Rod, that took them forever to get going to the postseason, where they just had these mystifyingly horrendous series, 1-23, 2-30, whatever it might be. If you can run and you can add something with the leather, right, you are theoretically a factor. Well, not that you are a factor every night. So I ask you, Teak, right now, we'll still say that Mike Trout's the best player in baseball. Can we make a case here that Mookie Betts is number two?
Yeah, I mean, easily you could make the case, and you might be able to make the case that he's number one. And maybe it's circumstance because he's on teams that get to the World Series and potentially win World Series. Well, actually, he already won one, but then now potentially win another one. You could say, you know, production matters, and impact on the major stage matters. I'm not talking about impact in the regular season where you play 162 and there's going to be some days where you're great and other days where you're not. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in the postseason when you have to be great in order to advance and then ultimately get that championship ring. Mookie Betts has been as good a player as we've seen over the last, you know, five or so years. And so He's definitely number two, if you ask me. And it was on display last night, BT. Right? You saw him early in the game. He struck out and struck out swinging, which is, he doesn't do very, very often. But it didn't mean that he wasn't going to be impactful, because once he got on, he walked. That was the fifth inning, right? He walked in the fifth inning, steals second base, got everybody free tacos. Then he steals third base, and then he has the play that we were talking about earlier, BT, where on contact, secondary lead, as soon as the ball is hit, and Muncy. Maybe it was Muncy.
It was Muncy.
Yep. As soon as the ball is
missed. No, was it Muncy?
I can't remember, because he was
on. I thought it was a righty stick.
It was lefty. It was lefty. He pulled it right to the
Diaz's first.
Right to first baseman. And because Seager was on first, and it ultimately stole as well. But at the end of the day, he is a elite base runner, and we saw it. He is elite with his glove in the outfield. And then later in the game, when it was 7-1, he goes yard and basically puts the nail in the coffin for, the first game of the World Series this year. So he does it all, but more importantly, he does it all when it matters. And that's something that you can't ever, take for granted.
No, but he does it in a way that, it's one thing to have flair, but flair can be hollow.
Yeah.
Flair could be misleading. There's so much substance behind his flair. It's amazing that, the play that we refer to, the play at the plate, that is just a baseball play. That is being so in tune with the finer mechanics of the game. Like, you're on third base, and it would be easy to get a little lazy. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm one of the fastest guys in baseball, and I'll get a decent lead. I'll score no matter what. Sack fly, I'm scoring. Base hit, ball to the right side, I'm scoring. But it's that one chance where it's hit really hard. It's one hopper to first base. And if you don't do the things that you need to do that nobody really acknowledges, if that's a strikeout or a pop-up to right field, it only comes to the surface if either you don't score or you do score in that manner. When you get the great secondary lead, you time it perfectly, your weight's leaning forward, you slide properly. That was a nice play by Diaz at first base. Now, he had a kind of throw. He was falling away because the ball took him to second base. And I don't know Diaz's minor league path, but just the way he threw that ball, I'm going to guess that he played a little third base somewhere along the line. And maybe even when he was lighter and younger, it wouldn't surprise me if he initially came up in the middle of the infield at shortstop, because that was a shortstop kind of a throw. And it had some zip on it, too. But there's only a few guys who are making that play who are so locked into the moment and have the requisite physical traits to score. And all this is not lost on a skipper who Dave Roberts knows he's got one of the best in baseball. It really does encompass a lot, and it's a great tribute to somebody who themselves is an old school baseball person like Dave Roberts. I mean, listen, we can watch. Remember the moonshot Giancarlo Stanton hit in the playoffs in San Diego, Okay. I mean, when that happens, that's phenomenal, and it's intoxicating. And the exit, what was the 118? Yeah. We got to do all the checks on the metrics. It's Sports Center front of the line stuff. I get it, but Giancarlo Stanton is also going to have a ton of 0-for-4, 0-for-5 games with a couple of whiffs. Where Mookie Betts could go 0-for-4, he can reach on an error, he can beat out a four hopper, he can a little bloop that has no business finding grass that does, and it's a little, excuse me, base hit. And then what does he do? Steal second, ground ball to the right side, get to third, sack fly, boom, 1-0. And that's not to bring this to the Yankees, but that's one of the reasons why the Yankees have not won a World Series since 2009, because they don't have those guys who manufacture. Even when they lost to the Red Sox at 0-4, excuse me, Teak, when they had the 3-0 lead and they thumped them 19-5, whatever it was in Game 3 up in Boston, they lost because they were giving up stolen bases, and they lost on broken bats before the bats woke up in Game 7 in the Bronx. Mookie Betts is truly an old school guy, and he is a great baseball player. Love watching him play.
Yeah, man, you talk about the Giancarlo Stantons of the world and whoever it may be. It's highlight baseball. I can watch the highlight and I can understand what happened. But in order to appreciate Mookie Betts, you got to dig into the game. You got to be knowing the circumstances under which he performed, because that's what matters, right? That's That's how you win championships. It's not by hitting home runs. I mean, maybe it is in a timely situation.
Very few teams have done that.
What was his name for the Toronto?
Joe Carter.
Joe Carter.
Touch them all, Joe. Yeah. You'll never hit a bigger home run.
Nope,
Joe
you won't. Carter. Walk off to win it, man.
Off the Phillies.
Off Mitch.
Yeah, right? Wild thing.
So
Mitch had rough winter.
Yep. Very, very few people are winning that way. They're winning by. I mean, the Astros did. That's because they were
Mazurowski when he hit the walk off against the Yankees. Yeah. In 61.
Yeah, but I mean, look what you're talking about.
61, 60 or 61.
It's mostly by doing the little things that Mookie Betts does. And it's, you know, here's the interesting thing about this matchup. So you look at the
touch them all, Joe.
You look at the Dodgers, and the Dodgers are, I mean, they have mashers everywhere, but then they add a guy. Maybe this is the X factor. And this is why I think Mookie Betts is going to go down if they win this series and he continues to play the way that he is as this iconic acquisition. Because you think of the Dodgers, you think, man, these guys are just going yard all the time, whether it's Jock Peterson or Bellinger, we've talked about, or Seager, whoever, right? You think they're just going yard. That's how they're scoring runs. But it's what Mookie did that makes you it's like throwback baseball, man. I'm going to get on. I'm going to, cause I'm smart and I have a good eye and I'm going to walk, right? I'm going to force their starting pitcher. I'm like, well, who am I? I'm forgetting. Who's starting? Glasnow. I'm going to force Glasnow, who's young and got, up to 112 pitches by five innings, right? I'm going to be smart, take pitches, have these good at bats, get on base, and then manufacture my way to third so that when, someone hits an infield ground ball, I can score, right? That's old school baseball. And you don't see it very often because we're so obsessed with launch angles. And the interesting thing to me as I looked at this series is that you look at Kevin Cash and the Tampa Bay Rays, they're so intelligent. Like they're so savvy with their bullpen and the pitching, staff and, how they're going to, manage to get five or, 3 to 6 outs with a reliever before they go to their starter. But they don't do that with their bats.
By the way, let me interject for a moment. Kevin Cash wasn't that savvy last night.
Exactly. That's my point.
He should have been hooked miles.
He should have been hooked in the fourth inning. He should have been hooked. You could see it.
I was surprised at that.
Me too. You could see it. And they're talking about it on the broadcast. Like, there's nobody up in the they're moving around up there, but there's nobody up. It's going to come back to haunt you. And it ultimately did. But my point that I was trying to make is that he's usually so smart with his staff. Mm-hmm. They swing for the fences. 70% of their runs come on home runs.
About Tampa.
Yeah, with Tampa.
Which a lot of people don't make that association.
That's right. I didn't until watching the game and they start talking about it. I'm like, really?
Uh-huh.
That's what?
Well,
it's like they strike out, they hit home runs, or they walk.
Think about who they trot out there. I've mentioned Zunino a few times. By the way, I don't know. Now, when Johnny Bench was doing this back in the 70s, I don't know how analytical I was in diapers, the big red machine, but an analytical eye. I have never seen anybody, and whether it's Pudge, whether it's Carlton Fisk, even though Pudge was at the end too, Johnny Bench, I can't imagine Yogi Berra did this, Roy Campanella. I have never seen any, we don't need to waste time on this, but just an observation. I've never seen a catcher be that good at blocking those amount of pitches in the dirt. Some that are coming, the variance 100 and then 89 because you hold on to that slider too tight and it hops 59 feet instead of 60 feet 6 inches away. I mean, Zunino is a surgeon blocking balls back. I just wanted to say that because, and I know that they pointed out on the broadcast, but you won't hear that a lot in radio. If you love baseball, you love what he's doing. And listen, whether you love Trout or Acuna or Bellinger or Yelich or Betts or Tatis, all these guys, back to the original question, all these guys on some level have a claim that they are either, well, we can still put Trout number one, number two in baseball. But here's what I think is interesting about Mookie Betts' contract. When they signed him to that deal, we were like, wow, in the midst of a pandemic, that seems a little ambitious, right? Maybe even a little irresponsible, right? Well, if you look at the way they structured this, it's actually quite savvy because the next couple of years, he's going to be making in the 20s, low to mids. I believe next year is 22, and I know the year after that's $25 million, right? So you say, well, at that rate, he's completely underpaid based on his value. And then you say, well, they gave him a long deal. What's he going to be like at the end of the contract? I'll give you an example. Brett Gardner plays the outfield a lot for the Yankees. You tell me Mookie Betts can't play left field in 7, 8, 9, 10 years the way Brett Gardner does?
Yeah, of course he can. Of course he can.
He absolutely can. And he's great.
Who is it, CJ? Is it CJ Nikowski we had on after he signed that deal? And he made an astute observation. Maybe it was either CJ or one of the other baseball insiders that we have. He said all they need to do is win a World Series with him, and it kind of pays for itself.
Yeah.
And they're on their way to doing that. I don't know the finances behind that, but it makes sense. You know, the branding possibilities and the marketability and the new money that comes in when you're a World Series champion in Los Angeles is a big deal. And so for the Dodgers, with their $107+ million payroll, it's worth it to bring in Mookie Betts, who's playing at an MVP level on the biggest stage possible.
And I want to reset this real fast because I want people to know this, because we've spent so much time on Kershaw, right? Mm-hmm. And we may have buried the lead here. As great as Mookie Betts was, Clayton Kershaw was better. So Clayton Kershaw, his first inning, you know, he just couldn't find the slot, and he was bouncing a bunch just short, and he was off, right? So his first 20 pitches provided one swing and miss. You're like, he doesn't have it. And I told Tiki this number to me is amazing. So on the night, and he threw fewer than 80 pitches. They pulled him early, as you know. 38 swings, all right. 38 swings and 19 misses. So of the half of his swing, his whiff rate last night was 50%. Whiff rate is a stat, was born in, surprisingly, 1988, which is the last time the Dodgers won the World Series, ironically, with Kirk Gibson, you know, doing his thing, or Earl Hershiser, et cetera. So for a stat that gets referenced, you know, if you're a baseball geek, you hear it a lot now, but really you never heard it in the 90s and even in the early 2000s. Been around a long time. Nobody, the narrative around Kershaw, as bad as he's been in October, although I think it's a little misleading, and I've pointed out reasons as to why, he has never had a better whiff rate in any game, nor has anybody since the invention of the stat. That's how good Clayton Kershaw was last night.
Yeah.
He was great. He was great.
Agreed.
And I picked the Dodgers to win. I picked the Dodgers to win the series easily. I'll be honest, I threw a few bucks on the Dodgers last night to win by a run and a half, and I won it. So I've got a little something. I don't know if I'll do anything tonight, but I was really strong about I thought it was great matchups by pulling some of the lefty sticks that helped get the Rays to this point this year. I thought the righty sticks that they would insert, Hunter Renfro, et cetera, I thought that he would be able to navigate that relatively easy, and he did. But the Dodgers, to me, they're an inch away from Coastville. And as much as I wanted to see them win last night, I didn't want to see him put up those crooked numbers late in the game because I wanted to see Clayton Kershaw pitch more, because there's still people out there that, quite frankly, don't really know baseball that well that are saying, whatever, he was six innings, big deal. No. Kershaw was untouchable. And last night was the kind of night, Tiki, he should have had an 8 and a 1 and maybe a 3 and maybe a 12. 8 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 12 strikeouts. That's how good Kershaw was last night. And we got cheated a little bit because Dave Roberts rightfully pulled him.
Yep.
D-Cell, give me the cut real quick. Dave Roberts on going to the bullpen with Kershaw. Here he is.
You just figure he's going to be on regular for his next start. So you got an 8-1 lead, and, you know, with 9 outs to go, we got to be able to protect it.
Okay, there you go. Let's keep with the baseball theme. Bobby Valentine, former skipper, played for the Dodgers as well. He'll join us next. What can the Rays do to kind of flip this momentum a little bit? And, you know, is Mookie Betts the second best play? Maybe Bobby thinks he's number one. We'll talk to Bobby V coming up next. More baseball, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Need replacement parts and tools for your repair, maintenance, or restoration project? O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They know what it takes to get the job done right the first time. In fact, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Their professional parts people will even test your battery free of charge when you visit an O'Reilly Auto Parts store. If your battery needs to be replaced, they can help you find the exact battery that fits your vehicle at a guaranteed low price. Like Superstart batteries, exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts, designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a Superstart battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, and more. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store and talk to one of their professional parts people today. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lines, 1-855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. By the way, Tiki, are you ready for your primetime appearance tomorrow night? G-Men kicking off week 7?
I am.
You ready
man.
For this?
Yeah, this is a big deal for the Giants. They played really well in a lot of the games, especially defensively. Offensively, they made some mistakes, mostly cleaned by Daniel Jones, but then he has that one turnover, and it's always seemingly in the red zone with a chance to either, you know, put a game away or get back into it. But they're learning. I'm they're not the type of team that you're looking at saying they're hopeless, right? They're a team that you're saying is getting better every single week, including their first win last week against Washington.
Yep, they're playing tomorrow night against Philly. So here we are, week 7 already. You know what I meant to ask you before, and hopefully we're going to get with Bobby V. We're supposed to chat with Bobby. He's supposed to give us a buzz, but if not, that's why you have other stuff prepared. This was going to be a little later. Antonio Brown, you know, is 2 weeks away. 2 weeks away from being able to practice and play. Yep. And I just saw this report during the break here on CBSSports.com that, well, I'm going to refrain from identifying the name of the team. I want you to tell me who you think it might be. There's a story out there just dropped. This team, blank, ready to pursue Antonio Brown.
The Giants.
No.
I know, the Giants. But they need one.
Yeah. But he doesn't fit their timeline.
No, of course not. No idea.
No idea.
No idea. Because it's funny, because you've kind of forgotten about Antonio Brown. And just, you know, if you even think about him, it's like, yeah, he's not coming back in the league. We're 6 weeks in. But you forget that the commissioner actually handed down an 8-game suspension.
Mm-hmm.
So it made no sense to have any kind of conversation with him until right about now, because he's eligible to play after week 8.
That's right. I want to read this, even though you just referenced part of it. So the NFL officially gave Brown, who had been under investigation for a number of off-field incidents, an 8-game suspension back in late July for violating the personal conduct policy. At the time, it was reported that Brown's suspension could be extended if further violations are found related to the ongoing lawsuit, but no such revelations have bubbled up to the surface at this point, which clears a path for him to sign with an NFL team sooner rather than later. You want the team?
Who?
Seattle.
Hmm. Interesting.
Seattle.
But I think they were part of the conversation before the suspension was handed down. People were talking about Seattle, and Russell Wilson was somewhat excited about it. I read something the other day, and I don't know it's true, so I'm looking it up in real time as I tell you what it is.
Okay.
That Antonio Brown has been, I think he went to counseling, so I think he's gotten some help.
Well, I hope so.
And he's talked to people, and he has basically, I don't know, smoothed out some of those issues that he had. But then I also heard that he hasn't tweeted in a year. And I was like, there's no way that that's possible. Like, maybe he's retweeted something, but
Did you check?
I'm checking now.
Checking Twitter or Instagram?
I'm checking Twitter right now.
I'll check Instagram. Go ahead.
But I think I've seen things about him on Twitter, but I'm trying to think of the last time that at Antonio Brown tweeted something, and it's been a long time, and I can't find one. So maybe he hasn't, which is a good thing, because that's how he was getting himself in trouble, like all this Twitter nonsense and, you know, taking shots at people. His last tweet, this must have been before they read this article.
Okay. What was it?
And so it was last week. So
last week.
Yeah.
Let's see. The last thing that he's got on Instagram here was... doesn't say the date on Instagram. Like
no,
it
it's weird.
Media.
Like, it's hard to find it's on Instagram. Yeah. But maybe they meant Instagram then, because I don't know.
Well, there's just a picture of him kind of looks like he's maybe taking a break during practice.
And yeah, and he's got his hand up. He's got his hand up like this.
I could just see his face. The other one he's got, he's almost doing like the hang loose kind of sign.
Like
he's wearing yellow shorts.
Yeah, so that's probably recent.
That's
then, because that was a week ago.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Why wouldn't the Patriots kick the tires? He seemed to fit there. They liked him.
He did, but I think Tom liked him. You remember, because it was that relationship with Tom Brady, because he was such a hard worker. Of course they could. I mean, who's the impact wide receiver on that team right now?
And N'Keal Harry's not quite what, certainly not yet, and maybe not ever what they thought he would be.
Yeah.
Edelman's been quiet. Josh Daniels spoke to that. He's got to get him going a little bit.
Had that.
They don't have anybody.
That big, you know, what was it, a fumble or was it a tip interception? I think it was a tip interception, like tipped off his hands. That was against Seattle, wasn't it? Where he tipped it off his hands and they scored a touchdown.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. Edelman hasn't been Edelman. You know, he's not superstar, but he's reliable and he's going to make some big plays for you. He hasn't been that. Yeah. I mean, the New England Patriots, because they're in a fight right now, below 500 for the first time. And what was it? 18 seasons or something?
Oh,
I forget what
it was.
Can't
happen soon enough.
Yeah,
their demise.
They're
can't happen.
They're
soon
not
enough.
In a good spot,
and it can't happen painfully enough.
Yeah, right.
Let's see who else could use him. I mean, again, if you trust your support staff and you believe that you can insulate him properly with leadership, the coach, whether it's like a Mike Tomlin or a veteran quarterback like Brady, who's going to keep him in check, those things go without. I mean, it's got to be the right situation.
Yep.
But I'm looking at the standings now. Who could really, truly use him? I don't think Buffalo needs him, even though they're a little deficient offensively.
I think Stephon Diggs he's changed like that wide receiver room. I don't think they need him. And I don't know how he would fit.
And Beasley's fine. Brown's fine. Their receivers are fine. Their running, their issue's running back, really, if you
Packers,
think about it.
Packers?
I was thinking about the Packers before, and I said Seattle. Absolutely the Packers. There is no doubt that the backers can absolutely use him. I mean, listen, could the Colts use him? Sure.
Yeah, definitely the Colts could. Because, look, I don't know what has happened to T.Y. Hilton.
He's gotten old. He's been around a lot.
True.
He's been injured.
But BT, he's invisible.
He scored a touchdown the other day for like the first time
in a long time. But he's basically invisible. He's had one touchdown, I think, in a year.
Yes.
And some of it is injuries. But Phillip Rivers, I thought, would thrive with T.Y. Hilton. I thought it would be a match made in heaven. But it just hasn't worked out that way yet. T.Y. Hilton doesn't scare you anymore.
No, he's not that guy.
He used to scare you.
Still respect the name, but the game's different for sure.
Yep.
Let me throw a wild card at you. Now, this would be, I think, viewed as a little cavalier in certain circles based on where they are and based on who the quarterback is and based on who the coach is. But how about the Cardinals? How do you stop him and Hopkins?
Yeah, and then
and Kirk
and Larry Fitzgerald.
Well,
there
Kirk,
too.
Forget about Larry, who's the man, but Christian Kirk,
is
a player.
Yeah, it's a lot of wide receivers, a lot of small wide receivers too.
That's okay. You got a small quarterback. Spread them out.
Good point.
Spread them out, man.
It's a good point. You know? You could be four wide with like all Blazers,
man. You know, they are probably going to start to transition soon to. Chase Edmonds, Chase is going to get more and more at the running back spot, so maybe that who they like.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the running back position is in the early stages of increasing and getting better.
Yeah.
But, you know, Kenyon's not really getting it done.
No,
but
he had a good game against the Cowboys. But Cowboys, I mean, you could run for 112 yards against
the Cowboys.
Dude,
I couldn't run 112 steps without pulling something, let alone 112
Yeah, but you
yards.
Could probably pull a muscle and still go for 112 against the Cowboys because they're terrible.
Partner. I'd like they to think. Terrible. Thanks for the morale shot. Thank you. All right, we'll come back. We'll hit you with the blast. We've got Bob Huesler's update, and we'll see if Bobby V does call. We'll be able to chat some baseball. If not, we'll either kick it down the road. I think we have CeCe tomorrow, right? CeCe Sabathia tomorrow?
Yep.
All right, so we have some good things lined up. And let's get Bob's update right now. We'll come back with the blast and or Bobby V. Here's Bobby. All right, Tiki and Tierney back. Going to get to the blast here in a moment. First, though, we're going to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's see. Some good ones to choose from here, Teak. How about Joe and Reno piqued our interest a bit. Are you surprised the Dodgers aren't going to Walker Buehler on 3 days rest for tonight's game number 2 in the World Series? I'm not surprised. I mean, put it this way. I'm not stunned. I'm mildly surprised. You have a chance to line up Kershaw and Walker Buehler for sure. But I would think that, you know, at this stage, I don't like the term house money, not in a World Series, but it's not like the Rays are going with a little surprised. I'm going to leave it at that. A little surprised.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised as well. Gonsolin, who picked up the slack after Dustin May got out of that two-run inning game seven. I get it, but you save him for a little bit later. I'm surprised. I'm very surprised, actually. Why not, you know, almost not guarantee, but give yourself a better chance to be 2-0 to a team that can be really good and surprising with them, you know, regarding the Rays.
I got you. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs. Guarantee low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. We'll get to the blast in a moment. The way you can look at it, and certainly we can be critical tomorrow. If there's a crooked number early, the Rays come back and they win 9-3, and it's like, wow, okay, that momentum was maybe unnecessarily stunted.
Yep.
But conversely, if they come back and they get a representative start, whether they win 3-2, 5-4, 7-6, whatever, if they win, now it's like, okay, now you have Buehler on regular rest because there's an off day tomorrow, as we know. It's play off. And then, if necessary, we'll see. And then you can get right back to Kershaw when you need to, a little deeper in the series on full rest there. So a little roll of the dice, but calculated enough where I'm not going to crush it.
Can you imagine if David Price hadn't opted out?
You almost forget about that.
I know. You do. I saw a note yesterday, or maybe it was 2 days ago. It was before they played, asking him, basically, do you regret now opting out because the Dodgers are in the World Series? And he's like, no, I'm at peace with it. And he should be. I mean, he's got a pretty good career.
Hey, it's not like he didn't think they had a good team in spring training.
Yeah,
he knew that they were loaded. He knew this was possible. So
that's right.
He seems to be a man of conviction. I don't think he's I take him at his word. He says no, I believe him. I actually do.
I do.
I'm going to have to get to this article very soon after the show, and then we're going to have to talk about this at some point tomorrow or Friday. It's on ESPN.com, and the title of the article, Inside Stories of Aaron Rodgers' Weirdness,
what?
Told by his backups.
Get out of here.
Looks very interesting. We will get to that at some point this week, I promise. But right now, we get to the blast. Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
The NFL is reportedly considering moving the Super Bowl back as far as March. I saw that this morning. Is a March Super Bowl feasible, or should the NFL do everything in its power to keep it in February?
No, I think it's feasible, BT, because let's think about this. Yes, we push into March Madness, which we know is happening this year, because if it doesn't, then college basketball is in serious trouble with the amount of money that they're going to lose, canceling two years in a row. We all know that's their biggest revenue driver. Think of all the NCAA. So we know that March Madness is going to happen, but when you talk about the Super Bowl, yes, it's a big lead up, but that big lead up and the fanfare and Radio Row and all that stuff, it's not happening.
No.
And so it's just unfortunately going to be a game. So you're going to throw a game, even if it's in, you know, the midst of the first round or whatever it may be, in the NCAA tournament. I don't think it's going to be as disruptive to the sports schedule as we like to make it out to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it'll be odd. But I think it'll be absolutely fine if they have to push back into March.
I mean, whatever it takes, provided early March is a lot more.
Yeah, you don't want to be doable. March 20th. You know what I mean?
No,
March, I'm completely fine with it.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's unconventional, but this is a pandemic year, and you've got to adjust, and you've got to remain flexible. You know, the one thing that they did, I know you saw this, they canceled the Pro Bowl. No surprise.
I mean, no.
Well, who even cares?
I mean, who cares anyways? Right?
Who cares? Especially since they moved to Orlando. I feel like it rains every single year.
Well, I think they canceled it specifically because it was going to be in Vegas.
In Vegas this year.
But Vegas has no fans all year, even though they could have some fans.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Davis basically said, if we can't have all of them, I don't want to pick between these guys who bought in.
He did say that. We kind of laughed at him.
I know.
Said, oh, he's not telling you. Yeah. That's not true.
He is.
He's a man of his word. Good job by Mark.
I agree 100%.
All right. Calais Campbell. He is big and he is good. And he's got another accolade to back up that that good aspect. The AFC Defensive Player of the Week. He's not a kid. He's been around a long time.
Yeah, he is.
Three sacks on the Eagles or versus the Eagles on Sunday. 13-year career is a good question. Has Calais Campbell's 13-year career been taken for granted? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it really has been. It's listen, certain positions, you want to tell me you're, you know, a right guard or, you know, a center who plays with an all stud left tackle that you kind of obscures you. All right. Or maybe you're a second receiver and the other guy you play with is like Larry Fitzgerald or an all-time. Okay, he's going to take away some of your shine. But, you know, for a defensive player who's that big, he can't hide physically.
Yeah.
I think he's the tallest guy in the league. He's 6'8", if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So, and he's such a high character guy, and he is so productive. Yeah, I believe his greatness is, and I'm going to say greatness, has flown beneath the radar a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, because, look, those years in Arizona, because he started, just looking at the statistics, he was in Arizona from 2008 until 2016, so good part of his career. And look, they were good a couple of those years. They went to the NFC Championship game once, and you know, he felt like he was a star, but It was still Arizona. We weren't paying that much attention.
Well, then why do we pay attention to Larry Fitzgerald? He's in Arizona.
Because Larry's a legend, man, and
Calais
Campbell.
Calais is.
Well, he is, but nobody knows that because he's a defensive, you know, DT, you know what I mean, a D end. And then he goes to Jacksonville where they had that good season, but it was all about everybody else. It really wasn't about him. Maybe some of the successes both in Arizona and in Jacksonville was because of him. Because I know in Baltimore, they certainly, you know, are singing his praises. He's 34 years old.
He's older than that.
He got four sacks, BT.
Is he 34? I think he's older than 34.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. He's 34 years old.
Okay.
34 years old. He's got four sacks. He's 35, probably really soon. He just turned 34.
He's been around, man.
Yeah,
I think he was even older now. Okay.
Yeah, it feels like he's been around forever. But he's got four sacks.
Hall of Famer, possibly?
Possibly.
With another, really good year or two?
Yeah. I mean,
right?
The problem is the sack numbers aren't high enough.
Yep.
He's under 100 right now, and, you know, he's maybe, but I doubt it.
Never mind.
He's still a great player, though.
No doubt. All right, so Penn State's taking on Indy. Big Ten's back this week. Already checking out the point spreads. Mm-hmm. Penn State, Indiana. Big Ten is returning, as I said. So we will do so, and they will do so. We won't get to see a linebacker, Mika Parsons, who, what's he going to go in the draft? Top 15? Is he going to go that high?
Yeah, definitely.
That high, huh?
Yeah, he might even be higher than that, depending on who else comes out.
You think he's that good, huh?
Yeah.
Top 10, maybe?
Well, we don't really know, right? So, because it's all relative. To who he plays, but he's going to get hyped, and because there's no downside to the hype this year because he's not playing, he might get inflated, but that's not a bad thing.
Okay, gotcha.
Good for him.
So he's not playing. He opted out, as we know, and now they might lose their leading rusher, that's Jerdy Brown, for medical conditions this season. Can the Nittany Lions still compete with the Buckeyes for the Big Ten crown? A lot of unknowns there. It's tough to say sure, but I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I'm going to say no, too. I mean, I think the issue, I mean, I like their, it's still Sean Clifford, their quarterback, who is, he's a senior, so he was a junior this year. He was just okay last year. He was 59% completion percentage, and in college, if you can't complete over 62 or 63% of your passes, what are you doing? I like how he plays. Remember, I saw him play at the Whiteout game in against Michigan last year. This is Penn State, and he was good, but nothing that like blew me away. So I think the issue will be, can they keep up offensively in the Big Ten with teams like Ohio State and maybe even Michigan?
That's what I worry about.
Yeah, I'm going to say
no. It's the points. I mean, especially if you fall behind and you become predictable, one-dimensional. Mm-hmm. I don't see it. They're more than formidable, and they're going to win a lot. But you're talking the Buckeyes, there is an obvious disparity in talent.
That's right.
Let's get to this here, Teague. We touched on some NBA stories before with the Rockets and their desire to hold on to both their stars, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, also the hiring of the Pelicans by Stan Van Gundy. Here's another one for you. The Cavaliers, big man Andre Drummond, are far apart. This does not surprise me
at
all.
Why would they not be?
They're far apart on an extension. Trade talks may be the next step here. What are conventional bigs worth in a trade in 2020? Not nearly as much as they were worth in 2010, and about 70% of what they were worth on that back in 2000. It is a depreciating asset, unless you are a great passer, okay? Unless you can work the high post like Jokic and just, you know, hit backdoor cuts, and if you have an outside jump, even if you're not shooting threes, but if you can stroke the 15, 18-footer, and if you can step outside behind the arc, you're a platinum asset like Anthony Davis, et cetera. I mean, Andre Drummond, he rebounds the hell out of the ball. He's incredibly efficient. He shoots 60-something because he only does his dunk and layup. Not a good free throw shooter.
No.
But he...
He's led the league in rebounds a couple times.
He's not what you need in 2020. So, no. 70 cents on the dollar, maybe?
Yeah, probably. Yes, that might be generous, BT. But here's the problem, too. He's not old, and he's made some good money, but, you know, at $25 million last year that he made in Detroit, and obviously he was traded, $28 million he made, and he's supposed to make this year.
He can opt out, and he's not going to.
No, he's not. He's got a player option, right? $28 million. He's going to opt in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only 1 year. It's confounding because I don't know how to value these guys. I really don't. Because there's some teams, like the Rockets, but you know they're an anomaly. But a lot of teams are similar in a similar boat. They don't even want them.
Had that guy, even though DeAndre Jordan's more athletic than Drummond. But
they don't want these guys.
And you didn't win with DeAndre Jordan anyway.
They don't want these type of guys, man. So it sucks for him because he's young and has a good career probably still ahead of him.
Yep.
You know, not like Hall of Fame type career, but he can play for another 5, 6, 7 years. At a good level, be a bench guy and you know, come in and fill a role like Dwight Howard did for the Lakers this year, but the value is fallen for guys with his skill set.
I couldn't even come up with a word. It's true. It's strange, but because his numbers in certain aspects are through the roof.
That's right. They're elite in some regards.
You've got to apply it to the modern game for sure. All right, speaking of the NBA, speaking of money, the Lakers owe Luol Deng $10 million over the next couple of years, yet LA's requested a career-ending injury application in hopes of clearing the money and opening up their cap space. Now, Deng did go on to play 22 games with Minnesota during the 2018-2019 season after the Lakers bought him out.
Mm-hmm.
Should the Lakers be granted the waiver? Well, I mean, first of all, you've got to put this to the test medically, and you've got to look at all the MRIs, and you've got to have you know, things spit back at you, and you've got to look at them, and you have to have somebody who is objective look at it and measure it up. The fact that he went on to play some games with Minnesota, to me, is probably a losing proposition from that point of view.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably the final nail in the pursuit of the money from his angle.
Yeah.
Probably an asset for the Lakers. But you know what? You give it to an independent medical arbiter and you get your answer.
Look, it literally didn't end his career. So, how could you claim this? Now, he is 35 years old, so it's not like...
It's not ageism. It's
I know, but injury that was debilitating, and at least according to the Lakers,
he played.
I know. I'm just trying to have the Lakers back, and because they're the world champions. Sorry, Lakers, you're losing this one.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
Let's see here. You know, we didn't even really touch this. We were texting about it a little bit on our Slack thing, but LSU to self-imposed penalties and it's always something with Odell. OBJ has been banned from the facilities
for two years.
You can't hand out money to amateurs.
I know, and he was handing out real cash.
I know he was.
To amateurs. Now their eligibility was up. At least some of them were. So I get it, and this will OBJ will get the headline.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily about LBJ. It's about the boosters.
Yes, and no. Did he have to inject himself into the national championship picture? Did he have to like steal the moment and hand out money? Just move out of the side.
Because he was drunk. He was on the sideline. He was drunk. And, at least I think he was.
I'm sure he was partying up, and there's nothing wrong with that. Your alma mater is going to bring up a championship. But
he was low-key faded, except he was high-key faded.
Yeah. You just swallow something these days. You don't have to find a spot to light it up.
There's no off switch for edibles.
That's true. All right, Teek. Have a great night.
Baseball
tonight. I'm going to go Dodgers. Wouldn't be stunned if the Rays find a way to even this up, but we'll hit it tomorrow. Week 7 begins as well. Same sentiment, same. We'll see you later. Have a great day. Bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.